Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to reconvene the Story County Commissioners meeting. And next up is number 10, but we're time limited because we can't call it until 10, at least 11 a.m. So we're going to leapfrog over and go to item number 16. This is discussion of possible action. Approve and authorize the chairman to sign the contract between Story County and the State of Nevada Public Works, State Public Works Division of the Department of Administration to continue to provide water service from the Marlette system. Mr. Morris.
Good morning, Board. Robert Morris for the record. I'm here today. Keith Loomis actually finished off this document. I worked on it for probably a year or more, and it got to a point where we were trying to after seeing what Carson City had done, that we wanted to make some more changes, and Keith took over the project. I've looked through it, and I have two areas to talk about. One is I'll tell you what it is. It's in 3.1, term of the agreement. The next to last sentence says, the term of this agreement, but such person or entity may initiate termination of this agreement as provided in section 3.1 below. That's actually in section 3.1, so it should say 3.2 below. There's also a section 6.6, and I can tell you that the county has been paying a base water rate plus an additional amount for the bonding for improvements to the system. So the county has all along been paying the base rate plus an additional amount, which is the bonding amount. What happened was when this section was written, it's kind of confusing because it says that's included, the bonding amount is included in the base rate. So I think it'd be better to read consistent with NRS 331160, the county pays their proportionate share for the repayment of the general obligation bonds in addition to the basic water rate. And rather than trying to make a motion today to include all these things, what I would ask the board, if it's okay with you, to approve this agreement with the requirement that the district attorney's office make these two changes before the chairman signs off on the agreement. Everybody's here today. I don't think there's any controversy about the matter, but just to make sure that it's done properly, I would ask for the board to give us permission to make those changes. And I'm happy to talk about either one or any other part of the agreement. I was going to say this has been one of the most fascinating projects that I've ever been involved in, and it's one of the neat things about Story County, where they have this siphon from the 1870s still in use, and it's been a history lesson to read about all the various changes and all the things that are going on. I have to say that it's very historical and interesting.
Some comments, Mr. Gilman?
Yeah, I'm comment I make is that I requested that this item be continued from our June 1st meeting to this, and I thank staff very much and those involved. They've allowed me and my staff to vet the contract and take a look at all the various issues. As you say, it's very interesting. It's complicated, and it has far-reaching consequences for Virginia City. We're certainly under the umbrella of the state ownership and management of, and so the contract has far-reaching consequences. We arrived at a conclusion, my staff and I, that that the contract should move forward, and our comments are on file in the county. And so with that, I'm prepared to support the motion.
Yeah. And I was going to say part of the research I did was the various legislative acts that Nevada has taken in connection with this. And so I think the legislature has expressed a clear interest that Story County be protected in their use of this water. And if you read the recitals in the front, we've taken language out of those pieces of legislation that clearly call out how Story County relies on this water, that it's been a historical practice, and how they want it to continue. So with the changes that Keith has talked with Susan Stewart and the folks up there, I think it's an improvement on where I left it off. So, again, I would recommend the approval of this.
Bob, I've got one question. I'm concerned about 3.2 on termination there. As to do we need, or why would it be required that we have a termination clause in this contract? This system is our only source of water here, so at some point after a 10-year period that this agreement could be terminated. Concerns?
Well, there's a 10-year period between the notice and the actual termination. And I think the only reason that the termination is in there is that if there is an alternative source of supply that comes up at some point that might be more effective. I don't know if water from Minden or it could be a bunch of different things. And so just to make sure that there was the opportunity to have Story County look at other sources, that and if they follow through on it, there would be a provision to terminate the agreement.
If I may follow up on that a little bit, I'm confused with that answer, because as I understood it, Bob, kind of layman perspective, is that the state holds the right to choose where the water might go. In other words, they might come up through the legislature with an alternative use that would be more important to the state, for example, than serving Virginia City. And if they do come to that conclusion through a legislative process, they have the power, if you will, to give us notice that that water is going to go somewhere else, and that we have then 10 years to work through how we're going to replace the resource. But that the decision-making process on where the water goes is in the hands of the state. Am I incorrect in that?
I think they do own the system. But I think they're, the direction from the legislature in the various pieces of legislation is that it is the state sort of took it over to make sure the supply to Virginia City is continued, that the state is backing it.
But they're not obligated to do that, but they may.
Yes. I think that's probably correct, but I also think that there's a lot of language in the history that protects Story County and Virginia City in their use of that water. And if Mike wants to speak,
I think I'd add, we still have the rights. We don't have the system ownership from the point of acquisition to dead center of Interstate 580 now. Which is where the ownership has been ascertained. So we would have, in effect, in the worst case scenario that you gentlemen are mentioning, we would have 10 years to build a delivery system from the point of acquisition up at Marlette Hobart to the center of Highway 580, Interstate 580, where our ownership begins and continues east.
Okay.
I suppose, in closing, for my mind, it's really a legal interpretation that we're sitting on, and we are looking toward the benevolent actions of the state to make sure that we remain in the water business here.
I think you're probably correct there, and I think in my own mind, just as a layperson, Mike Nevin, actually, for the record, Public Works Director, our representatives in the Nevada State Legislature, whether they be north or south, may be committing political suicide in some respect if they ever, you know, wanted to massage and or terminate service of water to, you know, the largest national historic landmark in the country. I don't think it'd be in their best interest to do so.
It looks like you've got a couple gentlemen from the water
at this point.
Company today.
Maybe it'd be nice to introduce Gus Newman. Gus is the Public Works Director for the state of Nevada, and Jerry Walker. Jerry Walker is the Marlette Systems Water Manager. They're both here today. We have a very cohesive working relationship with these folks, especially Jerry and his other staff member who's not here today, who's running the system up there on the mountain, Blake Goodmanson. Some days we're in constant contact, you know, several times a day, depending on what's going on. We communicate probably at least weekly. These folks have just been stellar to work with. Like I say, you know, we're able to see through their systems on the computer side of things, what's going on up in the mountain. They're able to see what's going on our end of the world over here to match flows and needs and, you know, ramp up if they have to and ramp down when they need to and that sort of thing. Today's world of computers has made a huge difference in the whole operation of this system. If we have a particular problem, we're notified via alarm almost simultaneously. When we have an issue on the siphon, you know, that's occurred a couple of times in the past. Boy, we're right on it no matter what time of day. So the computer world has made a huge difference in the way that we're able to, you know, manage and control and minimize loss of water when we do have an incident. I might make mention that we work together to come up with ideas for improving the system. As you recall, it's been almost 2 years ago now, Story County embarked on a program on the siphon side from basically 395 there at Lakeview, and we installed automated pressure-reducing stations in 15 locations between there and Virginia City. It's made a huge difference in the fluctuation of pressures in that siphon. And I think Bob made mention that, you know, these pipelines go back into the 1800s. The particular pipeline that's in use today was installed in 1875. And parts and pieces from the first two pipelines and the third pipeline are still in service on our side. So these air release assemblies made a huge difference in that pressure fluctuation. And since then, knock on wood, we haven't had an incident or a breakage in the siphon. So that's always nice to be able to sleep a little better at night. I was talking to Jerry a little bit ago. The state of Nevada is looking to do some work there on the Lakeview Hill, especially the off-ramps and on-ramps. And there's a possibility, and now they're looking to see about replacement of at least that section of pipeline that runs underneath both 395 and I-580. And so that will probably be included in their scope of work as far as that project is concerned. So.
And let me jump in hopes that we can get this moving, because we're also encroaching on MDOT's time specific here. I know this is an important item. You know, I think there's an important advantage to being in partnership with the state. I understand that, hey, they could say we don't want to be in the business of delivering your water to your point of ownership anymore. Here's your 10-year notice. But in the meantime, some phenomenal things are happening because of our partnership with the state. I know that, portions of our most recent rate increases, both last year in part and, again, the state, and I thank you guys for working with us, and coming up in July, portions of our wholesale water rate increases were geared toward a project that we could never afford to do ourselves. You know, I mean, they did massive improvements to the East Slope catchments, as I recall, that increased the yields significantly and better assured our water sources. So while UC Reno, Washoe, and everybody really, truly, legitimately breaking a sweat over, you know, water supplies, we know we need to conserve, we know we need to be careful, but it's because of our partnership with the state that we're not required to pay 100% of these. We share. But it's because of that partnership with the state that we're able to reap the benefits of those projects.
Great. I could just ask Gus if he's got any comments that could alleviate Commissioner Gilman's anxiousness over this issue.
I just wanted to chime in on Pat's comment about these catchments. Right now they're in review for the replacement of three additional catchments on that East Slope side. And the East Slope side, for the audience, that's water that comes basically from, if you were to look up on the eastern slopes of the Sierras, from basically the Slide Mountain area all the way to Lakeview Hill, there's seven catchments that catch water and then dump in the pipeline, and they come and merge with the Hobart water from Hobart Reservoir at the diversion dam and then into the pipe and eventually over the hill to Virginia City. Gus.
Thank you. For the record, Gus Nunez, I'm the administrator of the State Public Works Division. We are, with respect to the corrections that were previously mentioned, we concur with those corrections. And also it is, I won't discuss any of the, with respect to the legal terms of the agreement, but I can tell you it's not the intent of the state to not provide the water. I mean, it's a system, it's a historical system. We're very proud to have this system as part of the state and to have the be able to continue that history and continue to provide the water to Virginia City and Carson City. So it's certainly not, definitely no one has in mind to ever cut off that water or anything. As a matter of fact, we're making arrangements in every way that we can to make sure right now to improve the system so that the resource can be preserved. Great. So if you have any questions of me or Jerry, I'd be happy to try to answer.
Any questions for Gus? No? Thank you. Jerry, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No.
Okay. Well, Jerry, we know that Jerry and his team up there at the Marlette Water Company do a great job. I mean, we get to brag about having the best water in the state of Nevada here because of all the hard work that you guys do on your side up there.
So appreciate
all your hard work. All right. Any public comment on this? Ms. Park.
Nicole Bart, Story County resident. Just one question, and I agree with Lance and his concern about the future. Is there anything in the language of the agreement that states what the gentleman just said, that the state does not have any intent now or in the future of depriving us of the water? Is there anything in that document that has a proviso that says, should something happen in the future and the state make that determination, that within the 10 years notice that we get, that the state would find a replacement water supply, any of that in that agreement?
Bob, I'd look to you, but I'm guessing the answer.
We need it's a legal document, so intentions are great, but are they part of that document, and do we have a safety net? The state, if we decide to not take the water, obviously can use that water elsewhere. If the state, in some future date, to Lance's point, decides they need it for something else, then we need a safety net. That's my question.
Before Bob weighs in, let's be clear here. We're talking about the delivery of our water. We're not talking about the state and the state's water. The county has the rights for the water under the Frank County Decree. This is the conveyance of water. simply using the state system. And just for the record, and Mike knows the dollar amount more than I do, you know, we need to thank the state. Granted, you know, 10 years with 10 years notice, something really bad could happen, really challenging. But the bottom line is when the privately owned water system decided that they were going to shut down, Story County had the first rights to purchase the system. In the 70s, Mike, or 80s, I'm looking for you. 1960s, excuse me. We had the right to buy. We didn't have money. You know, pure and simple. Thank God for the state. The state stepped in and bought the conveyance system. So we have the water rights. They are not at risk. The only thing we have in here is an onerous with 10 years. Notice, we might have to find a different way to get it to the middle of 580.
And I understand that. And there are farmers in California who thought they had lifetime rights to water that don't get it. I'm just saying, just do we have any kind of a safety net in there? That's all. Thank you.
And the only thing I would point out is that the agreement does remain in effect as long as the operation of the system is done by the state. So it used to be that this had to be renewed every 10 years. There was actually a termination clause that was very short. I think it was 90 days. And so one of the things that changed is this is sort of in perpetuity, and there was a minimum of 10 years before anything could change. So I think there's some guarantee there, and I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Any other public comment on this? So you're hearing none. Commissioner Gilman, I'm looking for a motion to approve and authorize.
I'll make the motion to approve and authorize the chairman to sign the contract between Story County and the State of Nevada Public Works Division of the Department of Administration to continue to provide water service from the Marlette system.
Before we second, I think we want to make sure that that's subject to the amendment.
Oh, and amending that, I'll amend the motion to include the two conditions that need to be changed within the document.
Right, and if you would give me the district attorney's office authority to make those changes before the chairman signs it, that would be great.
And my approval and my motion includes the request of the district attorney's office to make the changes to the document as presented to the commission.
Okay. I'll second your motion. It's been moved to second to approve this. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion carries. Very good. Now we're going to backtrack and go back to item number 10, discussion of possible action. The presentation from the Nevada Department of Transportation to discuss Story County's work program.
As he heads up here, I want to thank the gentleman that's going to take the podium and the mics and let him introduce the team. This is Deputy Director Bill Hoffman. Mr. Hoffman has turned into a major resource and friend of Story County. If I had to say the reason why State Route 342 is on target, on schedule, it is indeed because of the great NDOT team. It's also indeed because of Comstock Mining. But Mr. Hoffman, it takes a leader, and Mr. Hoffman and the director, Mr. Malfabon, you know, have taken leadership along with Thor and everybody. So I want to thank Bill. For a guy I've not met until the last year dealing with USA Parkway, State Route 342. I'm sure we'll be talking about C Street, you know, at some point in time. And I think we've now covered all the highways that we have except whatever the little Waltham Way extension is. Welcome.
Well, thank you very much. That was quite an introduction. Thank you very much. For the record, my name is Bill Hoffman. I'm the Deputy Director for NDOT. So good morning, Mr. Chairman and Commissioner Gilman.
Our apologies for making you wait.
Oh, no worries. That's just a few minutes. That's nothing. So I appreciate that, though. And after that introduction, I'd stay here until 5 p.m. Anyway, thank you very much, and I wanted to just pass back kudos. I want to commend this board, Mr. Witten and Mr. Osborne, Story County staff that have played a tremendous role. When I was back before you all on March 2nd, we were trying to figure out how to accelerate the opening of SR 342. It was a nervous time. There was a lot of trust. that Mr. Whitten talked about, a lot of trust that everyone had to have for each other. And we kind of just did some finger crossing and fully trusted Comstock Mining, and I think it was a great effort by everybody involved, and we're very proud. I'm very proud to have staff like Thor Dyson in his district office. We've got geotechnical. We've got tons of people that worked on this project, and I certainly appreciate the kind words, but I'm also delivering them back to you. You and your staff have been amazing in this as well, so thank you very much for that. All right, so I do have a lot of people to introduce today. We take these very seriously, these county tours, and we're constantly changing the process. We're trying to make it better. We really do want to hear from public works staff, commissions, boards. We want to know what's going on in your community so we can help address the transportation needs. So these county tours and the workshops that we do are extremely important to us. Very important also for you and your residents as well. So we do have a lot of people here today. So, and this is my first introduction of our State Transportation Board member and State Controller, Mr. Ron Connect. We also have Lee Bonner. He's our local government liaison. He puts all of these on, coordinates them. He has assistance from Andrea Edwards, who I believe is a resident up here, so that's kind of cool that she gets to come and visit with you folks. We also have Federal Highway Administration, Christina Leach. And we also have Thor Dyson, Russ Hires, and Lou Paley. There they are. So, and if I could just take just a brief moment to just explain how important maintenance and maintenance staff and the district folks. So you all know Thor very well. And what's really cool about maintenance and maintenance that NDOT does, these are your residents that are helping take care of the roads in your area. So I think it's kind of neat for the folks from the districts to come in, sit in, get a feel, get a flavor for these types of things, but then try to understand what the issues are. Help them make their job better. But NDOT's all in. We really like the relationship that we've begun to build with Story County, and we look forward to doing even bigger and greater things, although I don't know if you can trump Tesla. That's a tough gig, but very excited for Story County. And we'll be talking about one of the projects that ties into that, USA Parkway, in just a few moments. So I think I've captured everyone from NDOT. I missed you, didn't I? Can you just bark your name out?
I'm Jessica Riverland, and I'm a summer intern at NDOT.
Right. So she's helping us with these tours, and she's an intern gaining experience in the planning area. So, okay. So, now, we were talking briefly about us improving our consultation and planning process, and we're really digging into the details on how to build a comprehensive planning program. So if you look at the gigantic, that's, I like that. I think that's huge. I don't even need to look down at the computer at all. I just look right up here. I can read it perfectly fine. So anyway, if you look at October to December, these are the workshops that I was talking about. So we instituted workshops in that we come meet with your public works staff. We did that in October. And we just sit and we listen. Actually, we allow your staff to create the agenda. If they want to go look at a bridge or go look at sidewalk, curb, and gutter, those sorts of things, they can do that. Or they can sit and just feed us issues and needs and those sorts of things. So back in October, we held a workshop with Story County staff. We heard about USA Parkway maintenance ownership issues. I've actually sat in with Mr. Whitten on a couple of those meetings. Lockwood Interchange and the condition of the pavement on the frontage road, that was an issue that was brought up. Condition of Virginia City curbs, gutters, and sidewalks. Crashes on I-80 at USA Parkway. Intersection geometrics at 341 and US 50, so the new intersection that we put in down there, and storm drains in and around the Virginia City area. So those are all items and issues that we noted during that workshop, and our staff is working very closely with yours to try to work through those issues. I know they've actually gone out and looked and viewed some of these areas, and we're trying to make progress working together on how we can address those needs. So, again, just wanted to give kudos to this commission and Story County staff on being engaged in the planning process. So, back to the chart. So I'm here. May to July is the county tour. So there's a lot of follow-up in between the workshops. I come and report back to you all. And I'm here today on the county tour, and it's just a repetitive cycle. And we continue to do that. We dig deeper and deeper into the details and try to get at the heart of the needs, try to find funding if we need it for something. So I'm excited about this process. I really am. There's a lot of but it's about building relationships that Mr. Whitten spoke about at the very beginning of this. And I firmly believe that it's relationships that make the difference, and that's where we're focused right now. So the next slide. So NDOT's number one priority is safety. There's no question about that at all. Not disputed at all. We have a zero fatalities program that it's quite extensive and gets complex to a certain degree, but we've made a lot of progress in terms of crash data, how we look at crash data, the science behind affecting driver behavior. So they always talk about three E's when it comes to safety. There's engineering solutions, there's education solutions, and there's enforcement. And we're always trying to find that perfect balance of what's going to work for a certain crash type on a certain roadway. So always trying to figure out exactly how to attack these issues. But I'm sure on the driver behavior standpoint, or from that standpoint, I'm sure you've heard the public service announcements. You've seen TV commercials, heard them on the radio. I hope you have anyway. Anyone? No? Yes. Two? Okay. Well, we need to get more of them out there. Okay. So, well, and we've the second bullet up there, keeping you safe and connected. That's a new tagline that NDOT's come up with, and we're building a marketing campaign behind keeping you safe and connected. And, of course, we have a statewide safety program focusing on pedestrian safety right now. We're seeing a sharp rise in pedestrian fatalities. And that's a great segue for this chart. So you can see at the top, lane departures, that's just someone drifting off the road, rolling, unfortunately. Then you have occupant protection below that. And far and away, lane departure is trumping all. Occupant protection, that's seatbelts, impaired driving, that's drugs and alcohol, intersections, that's more urban. You have motorcycles. The one area that's actually increasing is pedestrians. And I'm sure you've seen that. That's nationally, too. That's nationwide. That's Reno, you've up here. I mean, you've seen that. You've read those sad stories in the paper about people being struck and killed. So we've rolled out a special statewide program where we're addressing pedestrian fatalities, pedestrian crashes head-on. So we're making great progress in that area, I believe. So if we drill down, so actually I should just say that when you're looking at these different crash types, what we've done as part of our zero fatalities program is divided this up into six critical emphasis areas, and those are what you see on the chart there. But it helps us become more efficient and effective at trying to find solutions. So as you keep drilling down further and further and further into the data, then you're able to then extract possible solutions. You go back to the three E's, which one would maybe work most effectively. Maybe it's all three. So anyway, things that we've heard through county tours and county workshops in the past is the five-year crash density map for each of the counties that we come and visit. So we've heard that you wanted to see more detailed crash data. And you can't see it all that clearly today, but just know that we're working very closely with your public works staff and trying to find solutions for certain crashes along your roads in Story County. So these are crash density maps. They list fatal injury, non-injury crashes all throughout. You have on the top right there, where you have the little map, that's actually USA Parkway. That's not SR 341. I don't have a laser pointer, but the map on the lower left, or to the lower left of the other one, that shows 341 and 342 where they come together. It's kind of real tough, actually very tough to see. So this is a tweak we're going to make, right? So we're always trying to improve the process. So this is an area that we'll improve, is to make this a little bit more legible. But anyway, this data is out there, and we're working with your staff very closely. We're working with Sheriff's Office, NHP, law enforcement. So we have a very good core group of other state agencies and law enforcement that are trying to figure out how to reduce these crashes. So if you drill down even more, so in Story County over the last 5 years, there have been 292 crashes, 204 non-injury crashes, 87 injury crashes, 117 injuries resulting from those injury crashes, one fatal crash with one fatality. So that's kind of a roll-up of safety statistics in your area. Okay, so funding. We always love talking about funding, right? So, Map 21, that was the latest federal highway bill that was signed into law back in July of 2012, expired at the end of May. Congress extended or did a continuing resolution of that federal bill. That expires at the end of July, and then we really need to start paying very close attention, because that's where the federal funding piece of the legislation goes into the red. And that's very important. We ran into this, I think, about a year and a half ago. No, that would have been right before 2012. So about 3 years ago, we ran into the same issue. We had a federal funding cliff that might surface, and NDOT is heavily dependent on federal funds, as is a lot of the counties and cities through grants and transportation alternative programs. So this could be a very serious deal. If the funding is not approved, and if the highway bill is not, if there isn't a longer term bill that's passed, NDOT could actually, we may actually have to fund using state funds federal projects that have been out and under construction already, because we wouldn't want to cancel those projects. That would be too big of a hit on the economy, on construction workers, those sorts of things. So we would have to supplement until the federal government was back up, had a bill, had funding. We could carry that load for a couple of months, so using state highway funds. So that's pretty much it on the federal funding front. State funding, the state highway fund is in very good shape. We're seeing annual increases of about between 2 and 2.25% in fuel revenue receipts. So we're doing good. People are driving more. The economy's picking up. You can feel it. So not only are there folks driving their kids to school or to soccer practice or whatever, I'm starting to see a lot more contractor-type vehicles, plumbing, construction, those types of vehicles on the road. So a lot of people are driving more. The problem is, they're driving more fuel-efficient vehicles. So at some point, there's going to have to be a very serious conversation about what the next funding source will be. Is it a road usage charge? Do we raise the gas tax? What do we do? But there is a serious funding issue that's on the horizon from a federal standpoint, and then just in perpetuity, how do we fund transportation over the long run? So state highway fund's in good shape. That is not a typo. That is 77 $0.743 million. You probably know where most of that's going, don't you? You're hoping it is, aren't you? And so are we. No issues with this project at all. It's on track. And we know that in order for Tesla and the surrounding businesses in Trick, we understand that we need a 21st century transportation roadway to lead into that industrial facility. And we're on schedule right now. We are using a design-build delivery method. I'm sure you guys probably already knew that. Contractor design team proposals will be due this fall, and we're anticipating construction start date hopefully by late calendar year or first part of the new year. But the milestone of completing that before Tesla becomes fully operational is the milestone that we're shooting for. So regardless of where we're at with the schedule, you know, the goal is to be open for Tesla. So let's see. Really? Yeah, if we want to just look at this real quick, because we'll be asking you for acceptance. Unfortunately, there are only two projects in your county work program, but that's a large figure that's associated with it. I know I've come up before, and we've had to apologize because there were no projects. This has got to feel pretty good for you all. It certainly feels good to end on. So, and we're very happy for Story County and Lyon County and all those that will be benefiting from the USA Parkway project. But what I have for you today are two projects for your acceptance. It's SR 341. It's on the truck route, and it's to install guardrail. And the second project is SR 439 USA Parkway from US 50 to I-80. Design, build, construct, and extend current roadway from 50 to 80. So with that, that concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
I haven't seen anything on the horizon for a major highway transportation bill in Congress. So maybe the best bet is continuing resolution on MAC 21
and
keep these funds.
Yeah, and that's a good point. We're expecting them not to be able to find the funding in time to do a long-term bill, a 5 or 6 year bill. We're expecting them to extend the July 31st expiration date. We're assuming they're just going to kick that down to December. Unless, but I don't know. It's weird. It kind of ebbs and flows, these committees and subcommittees that get together that talk about transportation funding. Just when you think there's some momentum, then it's gone. And then when you think you're done, something else kind of fires. It's kind of strange, but
Moments ago, you said that if you run out of federal funds, you might have to divert state funds in order to finish federal projects.
That's correct.
Could that happen to these funds that have been allocated for USA Parkway? Could those funds be taken away to finish another project, an interstate project in Southern Nevada or something like
no.
that?
No. No. Those funds are locked up, secured, and we're moving forward.
That's exactly what we wanted you to say.
Yes. Those funds are not in jeopardy at all.
Very good. I know your team was up here a couple months ago walking 341 from end to end on the Main Street there. So we can give you plenty of projects if you want to, you know.
Well, and you know, I was remiss. I should have mentioned, as part of our planning process that we've developed, we're constantly trying to improve, we've developed a database system that tracks needs electronically. So if there's an electronic form that someone from inside NDOT or outside or anyone can submit an idea or a need or a project, and we keep track of that. So in the past, we would show up to these meetings, write down your questions, put them in a notebook, and they'd go on a shelf, and then someone would forget about them. Now we have an active database. It's a project initiation form database that tracks all of this. So if we have a project in your area, we just check in with the database and see what kind of safety or maintenance needs there are. And then we try to look for leveraging opportunities where we can work your needs into some of our projects or partner with you. If it's a bigger project, maybe we'll look for funding solutions or fund sharing. So
Chris, your team is aware of the crumbling infrastructure of curbs and gutters.
Yes.
And one of the concerns there is we are continuing to do more improvements on our sidewalks up here.
Mm-hmm.
And as we do redo the sidewalks, that's nice sidewalk, but when it abuts the curb and gutter, the curbs and gutters are crumbling. So
gotcha.
That's an issue that we have to somehow address, you know.
Right. Yes, I agree. Yes, sir.
The only other issue that I can think of off the top of my head is that the residents of Lockwood
mm-hmm.
are concerned on the acceleration lane exiting Lockwood going towards Reno
yeah.
is very short. And if you don't have a high-powered car to get up and get going,
right.
You're going to have a tractor-trailer right up behind you in no time at all. So maybe we could take a look at maybe lengthening the acceleration lane there.
Duly noted. And
give them a better chance.
Very good.
Lance, after Lance, I have something to throw in, but I defer to you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't want to
Well, would you like me to address that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
council advises that we have a three-person board. One commissioner had to leave early for health reasons. Commissioner Gilman is being advised to recuse.
Okay.
I can assure you this will go back on the next commission agenda. We don't need another presentation. I will notify Mr. Bonner that, you know, the action's been taken on the plan.
Okay. No, that sounds fine. Thank you.
But we still could take public comment.
Sure.
You could just put it on the consent calendar.
What's that?
Put it on the consent calendar next time.
We will. Thanks, sir. May I...
Commissioner Gilman, make any comments? Or?
I do have a comment as commissioner for Lockwood.
There you go.
I
think I can restrict my comments to the Lockwood issue. And I'd just like to follow up, Marshall. That short merging lane is important because what's happening is the folks that are trying to get in are panicking. They're pulling off the side, and so we're getting a curb drop-off along the asphalt there.
Oh, gotcha.
So okay. It's pretty easy to drop your wheels actually into the rut area, and then all of a sudden you have an automobile that's trying to accelerate and somewhat out of control. I believe that could be looked at as a pretty serious short-term issue there for Lockwood.
Yeah.
It's dangerous.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We appreciate the input.
And if I may chime in a couple of ways. First off, you know, I'm sure the chair is going to do this, but I will jump in on this one and just indicate that I think we're honored today that not only is an NDOT director here, or board director, but also our state comptroller. I had the pleasure, as did Chairman McBride, of working with Mr. Connect during the legislative session. He provided great leadership, and we're honored that you're here today, sir. I will just make I think the diversity of the NDOT group is here today epitomizes our relationship with them. You know, I talked very positively about Mr. Hoffman, but really is the whole organization. The county works with a number of folks, a number of agencies, both state and federal government, and the quality of those partnerships goes anywhere from excellent to abysmal. In this case, I would tell you, our relationship with NDOT is the very best that we experience out there. From the local guys at the maintenance stations, it's magic to watch the chemistry between, I think it's our dump trucks and your loaders, or however we move the snow off of C Street when inevitably it comes on the Friday before one of the 2 3-day weekends in January or February. You guys do incredible work. To Thor's leadership, really, in helping make 342. You gave probably one of the most passionate, eloquent speeches at the ribbon cutting the other day that I thought any engineer has probably ever made in the Guinness Book of Records. But I think, you know, the whole NDOT team is just to be commended all the way around. And I hesitate to say this with three of the big, big brass at NDOT here, but there's things that maybe they don't even know. Mike Nevin and I, just a couple of weeks ago, called for a very initial preliminary meeting with some of your team, and I apologize for not remembering which department it was, but they're the guys. We have five pesky little storm drains on your highway that inundate our sewer systems when we get rainfall. and they do really bad things to a little tiny sewer system. We met with these guys and we talked about in-house design to save us money, ways to save money, ways to hopefully, as you mentioned, cost share down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And there was nothing but a can-do attitude, not a commitment, you know, but certainly let's get the right players and let's keep this project going. And that's the way NDOT rolls these days, and it's great. So that's my pitch.
Thank you very much.
This is great, too. I heard a rumor that they wanted to start taking over Six Mile Canyon maybe next year.
We do have a road relinquishment process.
Anyway.
Okay, well, and we can take no action.
Yeah. You can take public comment. Would anyone like to make comment on this or ask any questions?
Thor, you want to deliver another speech? That was great.
Okay. With that being said, we will take no action on this, and we thank you, Mr. Hoffman and Lee. Thor.
Thank you. And thank you very much Thor, for the kind words.
Everyone
really
for coming
that.
In today.
Sorry for the fumble.
Maybe they can get the NDOT offices back open this afternoon.
We'll
get it restocked. Thanks. Great.
Lance.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for coming up today.
Thank you.
And we'll take care of this at our next regularly scheduled. Okay, great. Thank you for the presentation. Boy, you just throw a monkey wrench into everything, don't you?
Now and then, you know, I got a way of doing that. Could have gotten worse today.
All right.
Tom, over again.
Yeah.
How about number 11? Why don't we move into committee and staff reports? We'll take no action or public comment on this. From emergency management, Joe, do you have something today?
Good morning, commissioners. Joe Curtis, Story County Emergency Management. You got the clock going there? Yeah. Just a couple of brief items. One, I just kind of give a brief overview of the problems we had down in Mark Twain in reference to the recent rainstorm. Mike Nevin will have a whole lot more information about what his crews did, but just to let you know that we were down there and checking things and making sure that we got no reports of any structural damages on any structures at all. Everybody was very complimentary of the county being involved down there. They did lose a lot of dirt into other lots and so forth, but no structural and no injuries. We brought sand in the next day for a proposed increase in water again the next day, packaged sandbags. Sheriff Antonoro's CERT team assisted in shoveling some of those sandbags. And everything worked well because we had was preventative medication, I guess, because we had no rain the next day. So the other thing, just briefly, is that Commissioner Gilman will find interesting is that we have October 17th. We have a hazardous materials exercise planned with the RDAW people down in TRI. And that will be funded by a state grant that Sherry worked on and we've acquired. And so we will be having that hazard materials exercise in conjunction with them. That's about it, unless there's any questions.
Anything for Joe?
No questions.
Okay. Thank you, Joe.
Very good.
Community Services, Sherry Nevin.
Good morning, Sherry Nevin for the record. A couple of quick items. The Highlands community is hosting their first annual Community Awareness Day on July 25th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the fire station out there. They're kind of making this hopefully an annual event and a time for residents to come together and learn about what services are available in their community. So we'll have several different departments from Story County participating in that, also some state agencies and some federal partners as well. The Nevada State Firefighters Association Convention will be in town next week, June 24th through the 27th. I'm thinking there's probably going to be a crowd of a couple hundred people. They love to come to Virginia City. So this is probably shaping up to be one of the bigger conventions they hold these yearly throughout the state. We also have our annual health fair scheduled for November 7th at Piper's Opera House from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. We've also set up a couple of flu shot clinics. We'll be in Lockwood on October 14th and Mark Twain on October 21st to make sure that folks have access to those vaccines. Frances Melhop, who served as the executive director at the St. Mary's Art Center, has stepped down from that position. Her last day at the center will be June 22nd. The board at the Art Center is working through that transition, hopefully get someone on board. They do have quite a bit of interest in someone to come in and fill that gap. So just been working with the various different communities. Mark Twain Community Center will be having their board meeting tomorrow evening at 6 p.m., and we will be attending that. And that is all I have. If anyone has any questions for me.
Anything, sir?
Nice job. You're a busy girl.
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for all that community support.
That's right. Okay. Very good.
Yeah. And from the Mark Twain Community Center, Ron Engelbrecht, anything today? And if you don't, maybe Barbara does.
Ron Engelbrecht, Mark Twain resident. I don't really have that much to say. Sherry has been doing most everything, the budget, the contract between the community center and the county is pretty much finalized, I think. We have to sign it. And that's about what all I have to say about that. Now, it must be the water, but I'd like to, on behalf of the Mark Twain community residents, say thank you to the county for all their efforts, and Mike especially, for what's being done and still being done. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. A lot of nice topsoil piled up down around there. No. Austin Osborne, you have anything from HR or planning or what other hat do you have on today? Chauffeur.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a few things. Just an update. State Route 342 is being processed still. Comstock Mining, if you see there's some work done on the east side of the highway, that will be the new alignment of State Route 342. They're working very diligently. In addition, Comstock Mining will be coming to this board at the next meeting for an underground component update to their operating plan for validation. And they've indicated to me that their underground mining is going to be substantially larger than they originally anticipated. The adits would be about 15 by 15 in size, for example, enough to drive a full-size dump truck and that kind of vehicle in. So they'll be working in that, and we'll probably wait till the next meeting to go into details, but that ties in a little bit with that State Route 342 realignment. So I just spoke with NDOT, in fact, today, as well as I had at least once a week talk with Thor or someone on his team, that the December, January, give or take, timeline for that completion of the second phase is still on target. There's some things still going on with the Army Corps of Engineers, little adjustments and things like that, but nothing really what I would call an outlier. The next thing, just want everyone to know that on June 18th, this Thursday, we'll hold our Planning Commission meeting down in Mark Twain. That'll be an action item for signage in addition to the update for the zoning ordinance and for the master plan. The master plan, if you go online right now, is substantially updated from what it existed just days ago. And even since then, it's been updated again and again. But it's about 80% complete as far as that meat chapter, which is the land uses for all of the communities and all of the five different areas of the county and the sub-communities, as well as what's happening now is the goals and objectives and policies for each of these counties are starting to come to formation, and the public is going to have opportunity to look at those and see if they're consistent with the workshops we've been having over the last year and a half. So there will be a lot of changes that will occur. Jason working with us, Van Havel, is working on the transportation chapter, taking lead on that, and he's coordinating with NDOT and some of our other regional partners. He also may have some grant funding availability, he's informed me, coming up to get a transportation element that's all-inclusive of all of our roads, as well as potential other improvements in the next 20 years. years, such as transit options, things like that, throughout our communities. And at that point, just want you to know the monopine is out in the Highlands. The main trunk is up, and it's about 85 feet. It should be exactly 85 feet. And they'll be working on putting the branches on that over the next few weeks and getting that thing all set up. So that is coming to reality and should be up and running here this year. And in fact, by the end of summer into fall. And those are my items. I appreciate your time.
Do you know if he's landed any contracts yet?
I don't know if he has secured any contracts. He's still working with Verizon and T-Mobile, and I'd be happy to get an update for him on exactly what contracts may have been signed. I would suggest probably not completed yet, because his original challenge was he had to have the tower up so the people could just jump right onto the tower, probably the day the last branch is put on, or we have our next rainstorm and they grow on or whatever. He'll get those contracts secured. But I certainly will update you.
Anybody for Austin?
No.
Thank you,
Austin.
Jason, do you have anything for us today, Jason?
No, thank you.
Okay. Mr. Haymore, how about community development?
Thank you, Commissioners. And just to update, Austin left already. He's talking to the contractor out there, and they're working on that contract as we speak with Verizon. They thought they had everything ready, so they're trying to push to get that built a little bit faster, and that's why they're going so fast on that monopole out at Saddleback Road. I guess I'll start out with some disturbing news that we all know. We've got reports twice. Two wells went dry in the Mark Twain area this week alone, so some of those folks out there are experiencing problems with their wells going dry. So I just wanted to let you know that. We've been having some re-drills out in the Highlands, working on those. To let you know, we do today at 4 o'clock, I do have a meeting with the Tesla engineers. We meet daily. That is a 24-hour building project going on. They're building 24 hours. The meeting today is on temporary CFO. So they have some requirements to have the first line up and operating what we call bump and start by March of next year. And so actually out there this last week, the panels are showing up for the walls. We're doing the concrete work all the way across. We permitted mechanicals. The mechanical piping's going in. We just permitted just now. I got another one that I okayed, permitted electrical or some more electrical. And so that's going very well. I'm also working, starting to talk to the design engineers on the Project Energizer. And so hopefully within a month or so that will close and we'll start seeing some concrete go up on that. The first pad for the first mod is complete. TG Dirt was completed yesterday. They have the pad ready for the first concrete building to start going up. I'm working, and we have been lucky and blessed that we have some more single-family dwellings going up in the Highlands. And in Virginia City, you'll see two more popping up out of the ground right now in Virginia City. So we're picking up on single-family dwellings. We do have a new project at the Fanes project getting ready to start up there. So we'll have a new industrial commercial building go up at the north south end of town, Gold Hill Divide. So that's going on. So in about a month or so, I should be able to announce a couple of new companies that are working with GOAD and EDON. And so we should be able to announce a couple of new companies also coming into existing buildings and or building new facilities. On Monday, Pat Witten and I are meeting with USDA, doing a quick tour, a real quick tour, and then sitting down with the Aqua Metals group. They had just purchased 12 acres out there. They're building the latest technology of recycled battery facility out there in the industrial park. So that's going on too. So with that, do you have any questions?
Questions?
Great. Thank you, Dean.
And I'll ask the county manager to do, because I've got a 2 o'clock down here also. So, continue those. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Dean. Have a good afternoon. All right. Over at Public Works, Mike Nevin.
It is afternoon already. Just to follow up with some of the comments that both Joe and Ron made regarding the incident that we had last Tuesday evening, some flash flooding that occurred on the bottom section of Six Mile Canyon, as well as most of the Mark Twain Estates area. It was pretty interesting to watch as I think the Weather Service indicated to us that we probably had about 4 inches of water in about an hour's period of time. And, of course, as a result, we had flash flooding issues that washed rock, debris, sand, you name it, down ravines, mountainsides, hillsides, overtook drainages, culverts, went through yards and whatnot. I don't think there was a road down there in the Mark Twain Estates area that wasn't affected some way, somehow. We took immediate action and mobilized 3 pieces of equipment to at least clear those roadways and have them passable for the remainder of that evening, which we accomplished probably about 11:30 or so. We called it good for the evening. We were back down there the following day. And the next day, for most of that whole week, and we're back down there again this week. We will be into next week as well, just doing some cleanup along the shoulders, the roads, addressing some of the culverts, the crossroads that are the responsibility of the county to get those back in shape. And so it's been an interesting couple of weeks down there, and just talking to some of those residents that have lived down in that area for any length of time, they said they have never seen that type of event come through. And I can attest to that. I was on Sutro Springs there just right at the county line, and I think we had 3 foot of standing water moving across the road in that location. So it was quite interesting. But nevertheless, we're making progress, so it's just a daily thing that, and we'll get it all cleaned up and handled eventually. Just a couple other items of interest. We deployed the services of a contractor to do some cleanup and improvements in portions of the tri-area, specifically along Electric Avenue, Venice, Milan, Denmark. That project, there were 6 or 7 locations, and F&P did the work. And we will be going down there this week to make final inspection to see that all that work was done as planned, and I'm hearing that it has been, so I'll be looking forward to getting that one wrapped up and get that paid off and move forward. The swimming pool was opened on Sunday. Had a pretty stellar day both the last couple of days down there, so people are using the pool, you know, and that's a good thing. Have always issues down there. Sunday afternoon we had a blowout of the solar system on the east side, but our able-bodied manager was on duty and took the appropriate action that afternoon to minimize any serious effects from what occurred. Myself and Sherry primarily have been working with Far West Engineering on the finishing touches for the FEMA project that was funded, and that's a pre-mitigation grant that the county received in the tune of about $1.5 million for culvert replacements along Six Mile Canyon Road, and we're just in the process of finishing up some of the areas that needed to be addressed. There will be 8 culverts that will be replaced, and it's our hope to keep this project on track and within budget, and with a start date for construction down there next August of 2016. Aside from the work we've been doing in Mark Twain, when we can, we are dealing with the continuing crack sealing on some of the Virginia City and Gold Hill roads that is required before we embark on the hopefully approved today cape seal and slurry of some of those roads in Story County. So basically, I think that's it for the day, and I've taken 5 minutes and 30 seconds of your time. So,
Mike, just curious, those wells that are going dry in Mark Twain, do you have any idea what depth they're at?
I would have no idea. I think they vary in depth, you know, down there, Lance. I can tell you that at the fire station, if I recall, I think that well is about 65 feet is all. So
yeah, I think most of them tend to run shallow. Yeah, I know of
pretty
one.
Shallow wells.
Yeah, yeah, I know of one down there that I think is in about the 200-foot range, and they just had to replace the pump, and it had plenty of static water. I mean, abundant stagnant water. So I think the ones that are going dry probably have a tendency to be the
maybe,
more shallow ones. Shallow.
Maybe Ron could chime in. He might.
Yeah, there's a lot of prospector there. They're 50 around 200. One or two, maybe at 300. But 200 is probably the reasonable number.
That's
and ours went to dry at 270 at 200. Maybe the fact that we don't live there totally year round, maybe it's regenerating itself a little bit. But 200, I think, is probably a reasonable number.
There's a whatever. I mean, there's a minimum requirement these days for how deep you have to dig a well. And some of these older units down there probably just drilled until they hit water. Like Pleasant used to have like a 40-foot well in Pleasant Valley. And when it went dry, whatever the rules were then, they had to go much, much deeper.
Most of our commercial wells are at 1,000 feet.
Yeah.
We go 800 to 1,000, sometimes 1,200. And there's abundant supply of water, but you got to get down there.
Right. And that fire station well might be a little bit, maybe it's 165 feet. I don't really recall. Dean would know, but he obviously is less. So. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. Story County Senior Center, April.
Good morning. First of all, I want to thank you for your continued support with the Senior Center. I wanted to let you know I did apply for 2 nutrition grants, one for the congregate meals and one for the for our homebound meals. I applied for those and should know by the end of the month if we get those. And for the fiscal year of for 14, we served 8,953 congregate meals and 7,280 homebound meals, which is pretty good, I think. And also, I was honored by the Director of Division of Aging, Jane Gruner, for my outstanding outreach program. And she asked me to head the outreach program team for rural directors this year. And so that's all that's going on at the Senior Center. Any questions?
Thank you, April.
Uh-huh.
Out of the comptroller's office today, Mr. Gallagher?
Nothing at this time, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Sheriff Jerry?
Just one thing real quick. I tried to get April to tell you about it, but she didn't want to. This coming weekend will be our 5th annual senior awareness picnic. I believe you all received invitations to attend. The whole world's invited. We specifically would like the commissioners, county manager, to attend if you can. It'll be at noon at Miners Park.
See you there.
20th, noon.
T.A. Langer.
Nothing at this time, Mr. Chairman.
Special counsel, Morris?
Nothing today, thank you.
Mr. Whitten.
Just one wrap-up. I know Mike and Joe have spoken at length about the event down in Mark Twain, so I'm not going to belabor it. I'm just going to try to compliment really everybody that I saw participate down there when Chairman McBride and I drove through there the next day. Our fire department was on scene for much of the evening in particular. Emergency management, Joe Curtis, was down there both Tuesday night and throughout the day Wednesday, and actually arranged for deliveries of sand and bags, many of which were utilized in anticipation of continued rains that evening. And then I want to also thank the sheriff and some of his CERT team that helped bag some of the sandbags, and just for their presence down there. And then last and definitely not least, I want to again single out Mike and Mike's crew. The response down there was amazing in terms of I don't think we could have responded anywhere else in the county to any issue, because I think every piece of equipment and every staff member we had was committed down there Tuesday night and well into Wednesday and continuing on. Mike and Joe both did an awesome job of keeping me in the loop throughout both the evening and subsequent to that. And I think the coolest one out there, we talked about this in staffing meetings this morning, is just as Ron mentioned, you know, we've really gotten no negatives. We've had a couple of challenges trying to explain this is either a homeowner's insurance issue or not. We can't get in the middle of neighbors' disputes over who caused, you know, erosion and runoff. We've tried to help primarily keep the county's infrastructure and roads clear. And one resident down there, and I won't identify him so he doesn't get subject to a lynch party, actually hailed Mike down or called into the office, I'm not clear which, and said, you know, the response is so amazing, I actually don't think I'm paying enough taxes for the service I'm getting. So I joked this morning saying, well, we raised his taxes right away, but it's just been a breath of fresh air to see them respond, because like Mike, I've never seen an event down there. About the only thing I've seen come even close to it would have been the Lockwood floods back in the late 90s. So it was a great effort. And with that, that's my staff report.
Thank you. Anything from the clerk's office? Okay. How about if we take about a 10-minute recess?